Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There are few things more destructive to our lives than feeling as though we are without hope. Friend, hope is alive, and it's alive through Jesus Christ. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study Hope is Alive. Stay with us. There's nothing more debilitating than hopelessness. I don't know if today's broadcast finds you facing hopeless circumstances or events that have unfolded in your lives, things that have come unraveled from under you and cause you to wonder, where is God and what's going on in my life? Well, friend, welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Southern California. And today we study Hope is Alive. In Christ, you can, you do have hope. For all who trust Him, for all who believe in Him, for all who are following Him and claiming His promises, there is an eternal, wonderful hope found in the promises of His Word. And in this series, Hope is Alive, we're going to unpack that hope and discover it on a personal level. I know every message will encourage your heart. Before we dive into the Word of God today, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find on the website a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, also links to the Daily in the Word podcast and recent publications from Dr. Chappell. All of this is intended to help you grow in grace, in the knowledge of Christ, and in your hope in Him. Well, today we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to study family hope. Here's Paul Chappell.
1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now, parents, please get this. This is vital. It is vitally important not merely to come to church, but that we in our lives are living for the Lord and that we are sincere about our faith, not just having a suit on Sunday, but on Monday talking of the Lord and appreciating what good things God has done. And you show me a Christian family that goes to church on Sunday and hits the club on Friday, or a church family that comes to church on Sunday and then through the week they're critical maybe of other people at church or the preacher or whatever else, and they are sowing the seeds of destruction for their own children. And 23 years later, I've seen it. Christians who were here for a while but were not truly dedicated to Jesus. They were not unfeigned or pure. Over time, you see the results of that in their children, because listen to me, 8 and 10 and 15-year-olds can pick out hypocrisy as fast as anybody. And the reason Timothy was a tremendous man of God is because his mother and grandmother were sincere, real Christians. I heard about a father who came home from work, and just before dinner, he saw his 5-year-old son standing out on the driveway, and he walked up to his son. His son was mad. He had his arms crossed. He was frowning. He said, "What's wrong, son? Have you had a tough day today?" His son said, "Yes, I have." He said, "I've been having trouble all day long with your wife." Now, moms, every one of you have the right to a bad day or two, all right? But I just want to stop and thank God that there are hundreds of real Christian mothers who attend Lancaster Baptist Church. People who love the Lord. People who forgive. Mothers who care and pray. And who keep on loving when it's perhaps not always easy to love. Thank God for your pure faith. And there will be a harvest come from that faith. The harvest will be a blessing in your life. But not only did Timothy grow up in a family with a pure faith, but notice secondly, there was a persistent example in his life. He had a mother and a grandmother who persistently showed him the way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:1 says, but his father was a Greek, meaning his father had not converted to Christ. He followed the ways of the Greek mysticism. I like what Abraham Lincoln once said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And I thank God for the influence today of godly mothers who persistently, lovingly raise their children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Timothy was in a home where there was a persistent nurturing environment. The Bible says to a father, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And fathers can learn from mothers about nurturing and caring and memory making and lesson giving. And certainly Lois and Eunice had provided that type of an environment for their son. And I thank God this morning for moms who decide and determine to stay at home when their children are young and formidable and read stories and sing songs and teach them the ways of God in those early formative days of their life. And this was the kind of home where Timothy was raised. Proverbs 4 and verse 4 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now, I must admit this morning, as would most honest dads, that mothers are a little better at this persistent nurturing than dads are. Moms, they get it and they do a great job of it. Now, I did hear about a dad one day who was so blessed in his family with a newborn, and he went into the nursery and he was standing there over the crib and just looking lovingly down into that crib, and emotions were welling up within him. He was just in awe and delight and amazement and enchantment. His wife walked around the corner. She saw him looking down there, and she was touched by his unusual sense of nurture and care. And she looked to her husband, and she said, a penny for your thoughts. And he said, it's amazing. He said, as he looked down, I just can't see how anybody could build a crib like that for $46.50. Now, that's about the depth of the average guy's nurturing ability, you know. Sometimes we just don't get it. But Lois and Eunice got it, and they gave it to Timothy, and persistently they nurtured him. And by the way, they were persistent in their times of adversity. Let's be honest about it. It's not easy for a woman to come to church alone when her husband stays at home and thinks she's a kook. And I have a lot of men and great men and women of God whom I respect, evangelists and preachers and deacons who are faithful and soul winners and godly. But I don't know of another group that I really respect more when I just step back and take a look at it than the dozens of single moms or ladies in this church whose husbands could not care at all for the faith and sometimes swear at them as they walk out the door to come to Lancaster Baptist Church. And yet these ladies come in through these doors with a smile on their face, with their children in tow, a tithe check in their hand, singing in the choir, praising God. I'm going to tell you something. That is a testimony to the grace of God in their life. And there's an interesting saying I heard years ago. Every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. With every adversity, God wants to do something special in someone's life. And I cannot explain this exactly, but some of the greatest preachers I have ever heard preach in my life were raised in a family without a father because of a mother who through her adversity did not get bitter, but who got better. And who just kept on going like Lois and Eunice did. You know, I wish you could have been there Monday night. This past Monday night at our annual senior banquet for the Lancaster Baptist Youth Group, I wish every one of you could have just peered in for a while, those of you with maybe younger children especially, and considered the end of a thing. I wish you could have been there as we honored about 40 seniors in our high school senior class, and we were there at the Disneyland Grand Ballroom and gathered with a host of teenagers from our youth group, and I wish you could picture it in your mind. We had the teens seated down on a lower level. My wife and I sat with them. Helps us feel younger when we do that. And their parents were all seated in an upper level around the back area of the room. And all the music was beautiful. And the seniors gave wonderful testimonies about their faith in Christ and their gratitude for their families. And the girls were so feminine and modest and godly looking. And the boys looked like men, and they were polite in their demeanor. And we saw the videos of their lives as given by their parents through snapshot pictures that were given, and we heard the testimonies of their mom and dads blessing their children on the video. It was a wonderful evening and a great tribute to the local church and the loving family of which I preached this morning, and how powerful these institutions are when they are given the credence that God wants us to give to them. And then I couldn't help but think about it as I looked back and saw those parents up there in the back of the room. And every one of those parents would be the first to tell you they were not perfect. Some of them are seated here this morning. They'd say, hey, it's to the glory of God, it's by the grace of God that my son wants to live for the Lord, and that he's been pure and faithful to this point in his life, and that he has this attitude. Every dad would say it. Every mom would say, I've made some mistakes. I'm just glad. But as I looked at those children, I could not help looking back at their parents and thinking a few thoughts. First, I thanked God for the fact that those parents had been faithful. It is required of a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. And secondly, that they had maintained a good spirit, because those parents, through those two simple things, by not quitting and by keeping the right attitude, were being rewarded with the fruit of that labor. They had not been ticked off. Hence, they had not raised some angry type of a situation. They had not quit. They had not belittled the pastor. They had not run against one another. But they had just been faithful. They had just kept their spirit right. And now 18 years later, their children were standing up and saying, I want to thank God for the church, for my family, for the Bible. I want to tell you something. You can make the greatest sale that your company's history has ever seen. You can invent the newest product that wows all the consumers. But nothing like that will compare to having a son or a daughter live for Jesus Christ. And that persistent example in Lois and Eunice's life, it really paid off, because Timothy was used of God. And every parent here desires their children to be used of God. And if your children are away from the Lord today, don't be discouraged. Keep praying and keep trusting the Lord on their behalf. But notice thirdly, not only a pure faith and a persistent example, but notice thirdly, if you would, a patterned instruction. Eunice and Lois taught their son Timothy. They admonished him, 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. They taught him from a child what the Word of God said. Charles Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mother than all the theologians in England. Not only did they admonish him, but they warned him. And they said, be careful about this, Timothy, and be careful about that crowd, and be careful about those who deny the name of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 1 and verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners consent thee, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, you see. And time and again, children are told to hear the warning of a godly mother. I thank God for my mother today. And my parents, every year, they like to take us back to the farm in Colorado. Our family heritage comes from a pinto bean farm in Colorado, and we go back there and spend a few weeks every summer. And my dad grew up on the farm. He thought that was the best thing, get back there and chop some firewood and catch some fish and do some work on the tractor. But my mom, she was a city girl from Chicago, and going to the farm scared her to death, especially when we went out by the canyon rims out back. And she always would say the same thing, now be careful back there. And we'd get out on these rocks there in southwestern Colorado, and she'd always say the same thing, don't get too close to the edge. And she would warn us. By the way, what is it in a child's heart, in a teenager's heart, that wants to know how close they can get to that edge? All right? What's the worst kind of TV I can watch without going over the edge? How close can I get? You know what a godly parent says? Stay as far away from that edge as you can. And they warn their children about the evils of the television and the internet. And they warn their children about the evils that are coming forth from the state senate that's in authority over them. And they warn them about the trends of their day. Why? Because a loving parent cares enough to be involved and to issue a word of warning. And you see, a loving family will provide hope that we'll have more and more Timothys raised up to the glory of God. Why is it that Timothy rose from the obscure little village of Lystra to a place of great leadership for God? First, There was hope in the local church found for him. Second, there was hope in a loving family found for him. But I want you to see finally this morning, there was hope in the Lord of salvation, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when it's all said and done, one day our children may not be living in this city, and they may not be under the umbrella of our immediate influence. And when it's all said and done, there is no greater decision ever made by anyone than the decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. And I draw your attention this morning to a few verses that really summarize the doctrine of soteriology or salvation. And I want you to see these verses, verses 8 and 9, please. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now I want you to notice, if you would, please, three truths very, very quickly, but very importantly, about Timothy's salvation. Timothy was a saved man. I like that word saved, don't you? Let's say it together. Saved. One more time. Saved. Are you saved? Timothy was a saved man. He had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, three attributes of this relationship. First, notice the permanence of it. The permanence of it. The Bible says in verse 9, "Who hath saved us?" Salvation is not a process that you hope to obtain it someday. J. Vernon McGee used to say it this way. He said, there are two groups of people in the world. There are the saints and the ain'ts. Now, no letters from the English teachers, all right? I didn't say that. J. Vernon McGee said it. I just quoted it. You either are saved, my friend, or you are yet to be saved. But if you have been saved, then that decision, that relationship is a permanent relationship between you and God. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are saved. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. If there has been a time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that decision was sealed and you are kept today, not because you're such a good Boy Scout, not because you're the best mom in the world, though I'm sure you are. You are kept saved, not by your power, but by the power of God. How many would admit today, I can't keep myself saved. I'm not able to do that. But we're kept by the power of Almighty God. The permanence of it. Notice secondly, the price of it. The price of Timothy's salvation, if you would. Now notice this, please, in the scripture, verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Now notice this phrase. Not according to our works. Would you say that phrase, please? Not according. All right, now listen very carefully. Someone says, I believe I'm saved, all right? Upon what do you base that belief? Well, I was baptized in the Baptist church. Well, I went through catechism. Well, I give money to the church. But the Bible says very clearly in verse 9, not according to our works. Now, getting saved is not about what I do. It's about what Jesus did. Timothy's salvation was not because he was a good little boy. He was saved because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Grace is undeserved favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, he says. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, my friend, we are not saved by our works. We are saved by the grace of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful today. Salvation is a free gift. I mean, I'm thankful today that the poorest of the poor can believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. They don't have to buy it. They don't have to earn it. I'm thankful that the thief on the cross, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, could be saved at that very moment. He could not come down off that cross and go to Sunday school or be baptized, but he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so we see in the Word of God the permanence of being saved and the price that was paid in order that we might be saved. And notice finally, the purpose of our salvation. Why does God save us? Well, God is love, yes. God is not willing that anybody should perish, correct? God does not want anybody to go to hell, right again, but why else did God save us besides keeping us from hell and besides sending us to heaven someday? Why did God save you and why did God save Timothy? Two very important purposes. First, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Salvation takes place in a moment's time. But Christ's likeness is a process of growth. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be, what does it say? Conformed to the image of His Son. Would you say that with me? Conformed to the image of His Son. One more time. All right. Why was Timothy head and shoulders spiritually a standout kind of a guy? Because he had been conforming to the image of Christ. Why are we here this morning? And why do we gather and read the Word of God? And why do we pray? Why? Because the purpose of our existence is that we might become more like Him. And secondly, that we might live to His glory. This life is not about me. This life is not about my name. This life is about Him. It's about bringing glory to Him. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. My friend, predestination is not speaking about the fact that God determines some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. It's speaking about God's desire for us after our salvation. And God says, my predetermined will for your life is that you would be to the praise of His glory. God says, I want your family, I want your business, I want everything you do to glorify my Son, Jesus Christ. The permanence of our salvation is found in the power of God. The price of our salvation is the shed blood that Jesus spilled. But you see, my friend, the purpose of our being saved is that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, hope is alive, and hope is alive for your family. And hope can be found today in the Word of God, of course. But there's hope from a local church today, and there's hope in a loving family today. And there's always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ for everyone who will believe. For God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning for Timothy. We thank You for the fact that You sent a missionary to his village and he was saved. We thank You for a mother and a grandmother who really raised Timothy with an unfeigned faith. And now, Lord, we pray this morning that You would help each and every one of us to learn from this message. We pray that You would speak to hearts. Lord, there are so many needs, I don't know where to begin. So I ask that Your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart individually.
Well, you've been listening to Hope is Alive with Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We've been studying and rediscovering how God's Word and how the person of Jesus Christ represents a living hope for everyone who follows and believes and trusts in Him. Friend, hope in Christ really begins with a relationship with Him. And you enter into that relationship the moment you trust Him, the moment you place your faith and belief in Him as your only Savior. If you've never made that decision, we encourage you to bow your head and heart wherever you may be and simply make that faith decision, that decision to repent and turn from a life of unbelief to a life of belief, to accept Jesus Christ as the God-man, the only Savior who can truly pay for your sins, come into your life, and give you His gift of eternal life. If you have questions about that decision, we would love to talk with you more about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. I do want to invite you to visit our ministry online, dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. This website is a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth and for the spiritual growth of those that you love. First, you'll find a complimentary daily devotional. You can subscribe to this. It can come to your email box every day with a word of encouragement from Pastor Chappell and also an Old and New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. This is completely free of charge. And also on the website, you'll find links to the Daily in the Word podcast. If you miss a program or if you know of a friend that would like to listen to Daily in the Word free of charge in an area where we do not broadcast on a radio station, you can download this program, subscribe to it, take it with you on your phone or iPod or computer, and listen at your convenience. That's the Daily in the Word podcast. Also, I want to encourage you to take a look at Pastor Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This is a 180-page hardback book. It's an allegory that will help you rediscover what a relationship with God really is all about when it comes to the burdens of this life. It's an encouraging book. It's a book you won't want to put down. You will then pass it along to folks that you know in your life who are bearing up under difficult trials and burdens. Once again, it's called The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks again for listening to this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.